welcome to this week's episode of Shark Cast Radio, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Legends of Dyson Logistics, the support of Jason Hawes at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate, coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, and we wash it all down at the end with a Shark Island Brewing Company beer, and we get our grass cut by Endeavour Property Services. I am one half of the podcast, Sharks Fanatic Newman, and I'm joined, as I am every week, by my fellow Sharks Fanatic, Sydney, singer-songwriter, and all-round Fox Sports stats man. You thought I was going to go there. Sam Schnazzy, how are you, brother?
No longer a nice guy, that's for sure. You know what else is not nice? Getting whipped on the football field. Embarrassed, humiliated, defeated. Defeated! You can get in touch with sharkcastpod at gmail.com. We're on the social medias at sharkcastpod. Newman, it's not a good week.
Yes, it is a dreadful week, really. And we've seen a lot in 6 years on this podcast. Have we done 200 episodes yet?
I don't know. I think
probably
so.
Over 200 episodes, and the official records will read that the Sharks were rolled 56 points to 24 against a white-hot Penrith Panthers outfit, and we've seen plenty on this podcast, good form, poor form, premierships, but we have not had the half-century knocked up. The Panthers pointed the bat at the pavilion, and it was just a dreadful performance all round. Misery loves company. We've got plenty of letters. Where do you start with that, Sam?
Well, you're spot on about the fact that we haven't experienced this in our lifetime as a podcast. We've experienced it a few times as fans. But this could be the lowest performance week we've had. I'm going to say it is, actually. And yep, that sucks. I don't know where to start with this mess.
Well, it was bad. They were flat to begin with.
Well, it's funny you say they were bad. I don't think enough has been said about them being bad this week in the press and even in the Sharks kind of world of social media, etc.
It was all about how good Penrith were, right? And they were good.
They were really good. And we're not here to talk about how good they were, but we're certainly not going to...
We were junk.
We were proper junk. And conceding 56 points, we've only conceded more than that once, and that was an event that you and I never, ever talk about, which was in 03. So,
talking my hands, Danny.
Danny, was it Danny?
Was it Danny?
I can't remember the guy.
What was his name? I can picture his face.
The guy
right
with the
now.
Tan.
Yeah.
So I don't think enough has been said about how bad they were, man. Like, it's, and it pains me to say that.
Shane Hayne, not Danny. Where did I get Danny from?
Talking my hands. Specifically, defensively, horrible.
Horrible. And I was at the ground and was quite excited to be back at the football, as I talked about on the podcast. But the third, was it the fourth try where we kicked off and they went shift, tackle three, got outside Bryson Goodwin for fun, ran the length of the field. That was when the game was lost for me.
Yeah, there was that weird moment where they scored two tries before half time and they got within 12 or 18, maybe 18.
Yeah.
And the commentators and people at the ground were sort of thinking, oh, well, we're a chance. No chance.
No, but...
And they, when they came out in the second half, they showed there were no chance.
But that moment when we hadn't had the ball for quite a long a number of sets and they just conceded a try out of our own half was... I've seen a lot of A-grade football, and that's when you know an A-grade team can't compete, when they can't hold the other team for six tackles. And to see that for a first-grade side for the Sharks that... While there was some injury positional issues, the experience that we had on the field should not have yielded defense like that.
14 line breaks to Penrith. 14. We missed 36 tackles. We had 12 errors. It was just...
It's a horror show.
Messy all over the shop. I mean, you are correct saying there were a few injuries both before the game and during... But it's just not good enough.
Yeah, and there were some really poor individual performances, and we'll talk about those.
Let's talk about positives. Is there only one, and that was Talakai?
Now everyone's on the Talakai train. I see that as a negative, right? I like my Colt players to be sleepers.
Oh, man, Royce Hunt just signed a two-year deal. I'm so bummed.
How good are they? I love them. But they changed the game when they came
I'll
on,
I'll say Royce,
right?
Royce also had an okay game, but Talakai was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But there's no one else.
No.
I'm pretty sure at least.
And terrible individual performances, and that's what uneducated viewers of the game do, pick on individuals. So let's do that, Sam. Nene McDonald, my God.
Yeah, look, I was definitely hoping he would steal a spot with Ronaldo on the other side?
No way.
I think at the moment, who was the fellow that I stamped never again a couple of weeks ago? Hirotti.
Oh, Mavin Hirotti. Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's got the Shenaz never again with respect.
Yeah.
Absolute respect.
Yeah.
Nene hasn't got that, but Nene needs to go away.
Hang on. You texted me and said he's got the never again. Midway through the game, you've
broken the podcast buddy thing.
Well, I have to hold you to account.
You're right.
That
did happen. That did happen. But I'm going to say that he needs to go away and get fit because he just wasn't fit.
Yeah, and it looked like he hadn't played first grade for a long, long period of time. But why was he thrown in? You know,
We'll get to that stuff in a minute. So Nene hasn't got the never again, but Nene needs to go away and do some.
And then Nene comes in, and Bryson Goodwin goes to the centres. And when we've learnt now categorically that Bryson Goodwin, he can do a job for us on the wing,
yes.
But centres is not his position.
So you and I definitely have said that professionally, great winger does a job for us. We're happy for that. You and I are saying never again in the centres, just because of age. Like, he just can't turn and run.
He got toasted by a younger, better player.
And you can see it.
And it happens to all of us.
Yep. So there's no disrespect there at all. It just can't happen again.
Yeah, and then you go inside those guys, Wade Graham, what the heck's going on there? Chad Townsend was all over the place.
Not
I mean, this
combo.
All comes from not having any faith in inside and outside, but that edge was diabolical.
It was bad.
And the other edge was little better.
So the left edge of defense, was first half just terrible. Then they started hitting the other side, and then Jesse started running out, and it got really messy over there too. I honestly don't know where to go from here, Newman, but defensively, there are massive issues. And we won three games in a row before that. We beat a Canterbury team by, was it 2 points?
We scraped home against a Canterbury team.
And look
at them.
They're no good, right?
They're no good.
We beat Manly convincingly without their best
and they got beat,
player
beat,
and a half as well.
And they've been beaten badly subsequently. And we beat the Titans.
Who are probably out of those three going the best. But it was a big disguise there.
Well, I saw an article by your mate Riccio who said that, you know, the Sharks had won those games, but I'm dragging numbers out of my head here, but the missed tackles in those games, even when we won by 34, 42, 41, a huge number of missed tackles, which had masked our good attack against those weak teams, had masked our defensive deficiencies, and we come up against a good team, and it's just exposed. And the frustrating thing about it, and this is what I wanted to talk about, I put in my notes, is the last time we got beat by 50, RCB sent us the team. And the team that we were playing with was Nathan Gardner, Dean Collis, Tim Smith, Paul Ayton, Stapleton.
Yeah,
it was those guys.
It was the 2009-2011 era. Yeah.
It was those guys.
Yeah.
We've got international State of Origin players, guys that have played State of Origin, and it just... It beggars belief that they can put a shift in like that. And, you know, the old cliche, Sam, you can see 50 points, you can't win the comp.
It's not a cliche, it's a fact.
Yeah.
We've missed the most tackles in the NRL, averaging
is that right?
Averaging 33 per game. Now, keep in mind, we missed 30... hang on one sec. We missed 36 on the weekend. So it's not like we went from being the fourth best to last.
No, it's consistent.
We were down there.
Yeah.
We've also conceded the most line breaks. We're missing over 6 per game.
So what you're telling me is, right, we are not sitting bottom, but we've got bottom stats. Because
defensively,
that's what you'd expect from the team who's in last place. Most line breaks against them, most
defensively. Where it gets bizarre
is our attack's good, right?
Since round 3 post-COVID, we're second for most points per game and second for tries. The only team going better offensively is the Roosters.
Jockeys.
You know, you could sort of come in with the argument saying, well, it's not all so bad, but...
But we picked that argument apart last week and said, you know, apart from one very clear exception, which was the Tigers in 2005, teams that win comps have great defence. And that's one thing we can give Flanagan credit for, and we've belted him from pillar to post, Shane Flanagan, but he knew how to get the team defending together.
Fair point? He did, yeah. And people like Dave Riccio, who know the game inside out and know our team inside out, have publicly stated, you know, the DNA is slowly slipping away.
Yeah. So how would you describe the Sharks' DNA, Sam?
At the moment?
No. When people talk about the Sharks' DNA, right?
It was never take a backward step. It was never lose the fight. It was stay in the wrestle. It was stay within 4 points of the opposition and we got a shot.
It was, we believe we can beat anyone by playing tough, defending tough.
Tough footy.
Tough footy. And that's, I wouldn't say that's disappearing. I would say that has vanished. The horse has bolted out of the gate and will never be seen again. It's gone.
I'm not going to say it's never been seen again, but I'll tell you what has gone. That's the window. The window is shut.
Yeah. And we're now sucks. Rebuilding.
That sucks.
Are we being too full on here on the back of one loss?
We've got 56 points scored against us.
I don't feel that we are. I feel that your point that...
It's the equal second most points scored against the Sharks team in 50 plus years.
Yeah, so all those teams, 2014.
All of them.
2010.
The only team that went worse was that awful afternoon in 03. And we all know about that team.
You know who was playing for Parra that game? John Morris. He was.
Poor Bomber.
I don't know. We can start to unpick it, but I'm kind of flabbergasted. Were you a bit flabbergasted by it? A bit bemused? I was bemused. That was my main emotion.
I wasn't bemused. There was no muse in what I was thinking. I wasn't tearing up the membership and I wasn't swearing and hollering, but I was pretty disappointed. I kind of thought that on my one leg, I could probably go out and defend better than some of those guys, and that's a big call, man.
So where are we now with the likes of Chad Townsend, Wade Graham, repeat offenders with this poor defence?
Well, the thing is, they're not alone, but they are at the moment two of our biggest culprits.
No, and then you've got a player like Aaron Woods who just consistently underperforms, bad penalties.
The restarts.
Yeah, I mean, said restarts. You know, he's not adapting.
So not just Woodsy, but the whole team. So penalties, but then the restarts on the fourth and fifth. Like, you can't beat a Titans team like that, let alone a Panthers team. And it just kept getting worse.
And it was laughable because it seemed like the ref was, quote unquote, picking on us. He was being quite nitpicky. But
I don't really...
The point I'm trying to make is, right, okay, so you've got to adapt to the fact that the ref is really... playing within the lines here. So, get your hand off him. Get up.
Yeah.
Get to marker. You've got to adapt.
Look, they did have a sniff getting back into it, but then it was a 5-minute period. Like, I can't really...
The game was gone by then, and it was great that they scored a couple of tries.
Yeah, but since they came out second half, scored first, and then really applied themselves, maybe they'd get within 4 to 6 to 10 points and we wouldn't be having this conversation.
I think we would.
I don't know.
The defense.
Especially like if you say one half diabolical, second half, they won the second half, they got within 2 points, it wouldn't be as bad. I know that would again cover up a lot of things, but it didn't happen.
Are we just going to write this year off now and go, can they write the ship? The draw's kind, but you just can't see them making a dent, can you? You would like to see a bit more resolve. Like some of the high-value players, you would just like to see a bit more resolve and a bit more smarts, a bit more respect for the sponsors, for the members, for the supporters who pay their hard-earned for Foxtel subscriptions and all that. And, not so much the whole, I pay my money at the gate. But, if you're going to invest in this mob, it's really... It's not good enough.
I just think what you were talking about before with Talakai and Hunt, they have to look to those guys, the guys who actually...
Well, let's talk about that, right? The guys that are on the lowest money...
Yeah, they're playing for their living.
I only watched the game live, right? But when they came off the bench, they made a big difference.
Talakai was remarkable.
They made a big difference, and that's when we started plugging a few holes
briefly
and then scoring a few points.
Toby Rudolph was good as well, actually. I'm going to throw him in as well, but that's probably it. That's the three of them. But I would suggest that a bunch of them look at those guys who are, playing for their futures. They don't have 3-year deals at $800,000 a pop or whatever it is. The other point, Newman, is you look at some of these guys on contracts. We've got this team for a year, two, three to go.
Yeah. And we're now learning. I don't think there's anybody that's going to look at our team and go, this is where we want to be. These are the kinds of players that we want.
Well, I don't know about that, but
all right, look, I want to talk to you.
They missed Fafita,
but I want to talk to you about two events that happened.
Sure.
Two subsequent sets, we're bringing the ball off our own end. Aaron Woods drops the ball on the play the ball.
Yep.
Gets up like He looks like a pound of wet liver.
Yeah.
Looks at the coach's box with his big, sad puppy dog eyes.
Yeah.
And then continues to stink it up.
Yep.
Braden Hamlin-Ewelli, next set, charges into the fence. And I actually said out loud, here's a good run. And then he gets whacked and the ball pops out. It happens. He's filthy, right? And then he comes off the field and he's blowing up. I don't know who he's blowing up at, but on the sideline, I'm watching him. He's remonstrating with someone like he felt that. Mm. Now, Braden Hamlin-Ewelli is paid a lot less and has a lot less influence in the team, mm-hmm. where one of our senior players didn't ever seem to care. That's what gets under people's skin.
Yeah, for sure. And whether that's a fair thing to put on an athlete, like who says that Aaron Woods has to get up and look upset? There's no rule. Like, but we all want him to look upset. We want him to look like he cares. I deep down, I believe he cares. I know he cares, but
I take some convincing on that.
Well,
his whole performance
screams
to me like somebody who chalks up stats.
Yeah.
He's a professional in terms of he takes a good salary and he knows what he's got to do to get that salary, mm-hmm. but he doesn't do the extras. He doesn't do the emotion plays. He doesn't do the effort on effort that all of us as supporters want to see.
I agree with that, yeah. I'm just saying deep down, I would think that he cares about things, but
I'm not saying he goes to bed at night and goes, oh, I'm glad we lost 50-0, but he just doesn't have the personality.
No, but if he didn't have the personality but played lights out, well then, different story.
He could be a freak, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's troubling times, Newman. I don't know where we go. The window's shut. They are going to win some more games. I don't believe they're going to come last or anything. So,
no, they won't.
There's some good times ahead.
The best thing, what do you think is best case scenario this year?
A best case?
Mm.
Eighth by a millimeter. And best
then,
case.
And then out the door.
But likely, 10 to 12, maybe. Maybe.
See, the weird thing is, and I hold on to this, if they finish seventh or they finish eighth, they have the squad now to be in a semi-final and go, okay, we can all of a sudden turn it on. That's there in the background. Now, I don't see any of it, but it is there.
Is it though? Is it still there? It was there for a while. I don't know if it's still there. I was thinking about it just tonight before I met you, Newman, and I was thinking about individual performances. I was thinking about Sean Johnson, and I'm a Sean Johnson fan, most try assists in the NRL still. He's not the guy that you go to in troubled times. So you're down by...
No.
Down by 12, need to get back in the game.
He's not a Cameron Smith or a Cooper Cronk in that regard where, you know, if you're down by 12, you go, like, and you're a Storm supporter, you're going, Cam's going to get us out of this.
So I'm not shifting anything towards him in this conversation. What I'm saying is that, I guess
it's
for whatever reason,
that player.
I'm a bit dim. It dawned on me that when I'm looking for people down my team list, who's going to get us out of this? It's not Shawnee. Shawnee might do something freakish. He'll definitely win you a game from time to time, but he's not going to get you out of that rut.
No.
And I'm looking at the team that played last week. I don't know, man.
Talakai. Pass the ball to Talakai. Seriously, that's what
we
are.
In all honesty, the bench looks the strongest out of the entire team.
Yeah, and you know, the spine, Blake Braley, he did some good things.
Yeah, he's going all right.
He did some okay, right. But, you know, I just don't know where to go, mate. My underlying emotion is bemusement because I've said over and over again, I feel that the team is overpaid. I feel we've got too many players that don't roll their sleeves up. When I say overpaid, I mean we've got too many of those players that don't deliver value. And it's the chickens are coming home to roost.
But what about the Matt Moylan factor, which was, I guess, proven once and for all?
Matt Moylan is not a good defender. He tries really hard.
Doesn't need to be.
But the fact that he's not in the team, and I know where you're going with this no Moylan, no win thing,
gotcha.
Should not mean that our defense just comes apart at the seams. He's not that player.
That's completely correct. I'm also talking about scoring opportunities throughout the game, not a five-minute window before halftime.
Well, we had some scoring opportunities and scored, but, you know, and if Moylan's there, then we're more potent. But look, let's look. Chad, 3-on-1, kicks the ball dead by 20 metres, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to labour the point, but he's in drop territory in my books.
Mm-hmm.
He really is in needs a rest territory. Because he's not delivering.
Defensively was... he and Wade...
He was on his own.
...in particular. They took their turns at mucking it up. Like, Chad would run out and just miss the tackle, causing the overlap, and then Wade to do it the next time, and it was...
Well, they didn't look like a cohesive unit. To coin a phrase from Gus Gould, they looked like they were trying to solve problems on their own.
Yeah.
You know. But, I mean... the Bombers now looking down the list and going, what do I do here? Do I sack my halfback? Do I sack my captain? Do I sack my top,
there's a
middle,
front
rower?
A few things we'll talk about in the last segment with the team, but yeah, there's not a huge amount of things he can do, particularly with Moylan missing. And things like, he's tried a lot already this year. You've had Will Kennedy there. You've had different options, and it hasn't
you've
really...
You've had Noreen Haroti. You've had Nene McDonald. Yeah. You've had Bryson Goodwin.
Yeah.
You know, Talakai's had a run, Sorensen's had a run, Royce Hunt's had a run, Connor Tracy's had a run. What would you, you wouldn't want to be in his shoes.
No. No. I think that ultimately he has a chance to turn it around. It may not be this year. Next year is his last year of contract. Then he's off contract at Bomber Morris. But I'm sure he has more faith in these guys than what you and I do right now.
I know he does.
Yeah. Which is great.
I would bet money that he's sitting there going, this team can come good, this team can come good. That was a bad day at the office. It was a real bad one. Don't judge us on it.
Yeah.
And the frustrating thing for mine is, if you watch the press conference, he talked about adversity, you know, and all of the, you know, the HIA. There were a lot of HIAs, you know, they had to reshuffle.
He's not wrong.
I know, but like, every team has adversity.
Yeah, he's not wrong, but he's not thinking about the fact that that was the second most points scored against a Sharks team in the history of the world.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it long term. And if you're going to be a contender, you don't really concede 30, let alone 56.
No. And you come up against a good team like that and think, this is a good challenge for us. All right, we've lost a couple of guys with the HIA. Hark back to the Canberra Raiders semi-final in 2016.
Yeah.
Gallon's out, Wade goes down, the team just muscles up. This team just went to water. Fifita's gone, you know. You're losing players with HIAs. Just hold your structure together. Bad signs, Sam, bad signs.
That was probably one of the most disappointing things, Newman. There was no one there steering the ship. There was no one putting their hand up going, hey guys, settle down. We've just conceded 3 in 8 minutes. This is what we got to do. Because I was watching a lot of the team huddles, and I was watching a lot of the...
Noakeshie had a lot to say.
Noakeshie had a lot to say. But there was no one really taking that, dare I say, Gallon approach of just telling them what to do. So whether those people whose job it is having an off day, I don't know. But it looked like they were all out there alone, and... there was 17 guys just trying to play footy.
Yeah, and they were just wanted to get through the game and then go home.
That's the thing. There was 20 minutes to go, and it was still, it was only like 34
points.
To
me, it was like I felt like I was at an A-grade game. Like, just the fact that in A-grade, you know, it's a bunch of mates. Oftentimes, it can be, to be just a bunch of mates getting together, and you struggle to put players on the paddock, and people get knocked out, and... yeah. And then one team gets beat by a lot, and it's just, you know, shake hands at the end and see what happens next week, like, which is fine for A grade.
It is fine for A grade.
But for first grade, it is unacceptable. They're paid too much money. And the bulk of the team had enough continuity.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Wade and Chad have defended next to each other enough times. Sione, Britton and Jesse have defended together enough times.
I felt for Nene and I felt for Goodwin because... they were thrown out there, and I'm sure they did their best in that moment. But, you know, it just, when the whole team is thinking it up, I'm not going to blame those two guys for the loss. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, we don't have the answers here.
No, and let's, you know, anyone who's listening to this and...
they're probably feeling quite depressed.
Yeah, they are. But if they're not in agreement, that's obviously completely fine. We're not, we're definitely not over the top here. We're just telling you what happened last week, and last week sucked, and... you know, hopefully there's no more of this down the line, but it's just, it's not great signs when a team, even a red hot team, puts 56 points on you.
I know. And when, even when you're winning, you know, you're missing all those tackles and...
yeah.
Yeah. The defense hasn't looked good all year, let's be honest. And we're used to being a Sharks supporter and going into a game going, okay, well, we're missing X, Y, Z, but, you know, our defense is going to be brave and tough and
yeah,
all the rest of it.
I would suggest, and Bomber's aware of it, I'd suggest number one priority this week and moving forward is just defense and strategies and way to keep people out of scoring, because we've seen they can attack, their attack's fine.
Mm.
Discipline's no good and defense is worse. So.
All right, well, let's not go any further down the hole. We've got plenty to discuss, so let's cut to a
Liam,
break.
Hey, Liam, get me a double shot of whiskey right now.
Okay, Sam. When we come back on the other side, we will have the news. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Sharkcast Radio would not be possible without the generous support of Dyson Logistics.
Dyson Logistics provides tailored logistical solutions to meet individual client needs and is set apart by its personalized service.
Dyson has a strong worldwide agent network, enabling highly competitive rates. Find them online at www.dysonlogistics.com or call them 8399 1844.
Dyson Logistics, service delivered.
Porter puts a kick deftly into the end goal. Look at Mills, he's got the ball. Can he get it down? I think he did.
Welcome back to the show, and now it's come to that time where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of PointsBet Stadium, Shark Park in the dark, all of the other venues, plenty to go through this week. Sam, what do we got first cab off the rank news-wise?
Let's talk locally, and we'll talk about the Great Bash that is still on.
You may have heard rumours
it's not on, but it's on because... The Royal Motor Yacht Club in Port Hacking is a club, not a pub.
Not a pub. So you've probably heard news on the news that the numbers are down. Our bash is still going ahead, unless things change.
And I say that with respect to the fact that we're going to be COVID safe. I'm not like taking the mickey here going, woo, we're having a party.
That's why we're selling tickets, right?
Yep. So it's a bit over $5.
It's like $5 in a booking fee. $5.60. But the reason why we're asking for you to buy a ticket is because we need to know name, address, and all the stuff of who's going to be there. We need you to commit to coming.
Yep.
Your $5 gets you entry into the party. It gets you... We've got Shark Island providing a keg. It gets you a photo of Gavin Miller. It gets you our hilarious anecdotes at halftime. It gets you...
Oh, in 2016, I went and saw him, and I was stuck in a lift, and I didn't get to see him play the grand final. And lift opened, and they won the grand final. Stuff like that.
And the RMYC are putting on pizzas and finger food, and there'll be heaps of people there.
Now, if you mention the word Sharkcast, you get garlic bread with that.
So it's all going ahead, and it's $5. It's the best value you're ever going to get. And it will go ahead until...
That's a big statement.
We find out that we can't go ahead. So there's still plenty of tickets left. Get involved. But if you don't buy a ticket, you cannot come. I can't be stricter than that. That's not us trying to make money out of it. It is we need to do for COVID. We need to establish who is coming. And so we thought tickets was the best way to do that. And for $5, surely everyone can afford it.
If we were going to make money out of it, we'd be charging a lot more.
Yep.
Also, if the event doesn't go ahead, you get that $5.75.
100% back. Correct. Yep. You will get a refund on your $5.75.
It's a great way to hang out with fellow Sharks fans. It's a very friendly environment. No one should feel intimidated if you come on your own. Like many people have.
Yeah.
You make friends. You have two friends in us, and
100%.
It's a great time, and one of my favorite nights of the year.
I look forward to it every year.
Playing the Broncos, not sure how that's going to go, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, it's a game, right?
So you can get that via Eventbrite. Is that how do I say it?
Yeah, Eventbrite.
But if you go to our Instagram, for
all
example,
the links are on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, and Twitter. So if you can't find those. Send us an email,
sharkcastpod@gmail.com, and I'll tip you into the link. Don't miss out. Please don't come because of all this COVID stuff. My attitude with the COVID
stuff is, hang on. That's different. If people don't feel comfortable.
No. If you think it's too hard to buy a ticket, the only reason we're doing tickets is because of COVID.
Yes.
My view on it is we've just got to pivot. We've just got to carry on.
Well, I don't want to get into that, Newman, because we're going to be here for an hour debating things. We're going to be COVID safe that night.
100%. So there'll be hand sanitizer, social distancing.
Yeah. And if the amount of tickets that we're selling is
appropriate for the room size.
Yes.
No one else from the club will be able to come in other than the staff that are appropriated to the
For example, if you're a nurse something, if you're in the medical world, you're probably not coming to our party. But if you're just living your life as you are, come along. It'll be
safe. We have a COVID plan for this party.
We do.
COVID. So
Luke COVID.
Luke COVID. Come on. I don't know if Cov's coming or not.
Can you mention any other names aside from Miller? You don't want to?
There will be ex-players. Yes. Ben Ross has mentioned that he'll probably be a starter, given that he only lives two doors up the road.
He said that before and hasn't turned up. So
yeah, but he has turned up as well.
Oh, he has? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Ben.
I think, one of Cronulla's, a player who played for Cronulla and got selected for State of Origin, but then didn't get on the paddock.
Yeah, I know that person, yeah.
Yep. He's potentially, people are still trying to move the pieces, so I don't want to say too much.
Sure, and there'll be some current, how do I say this, staff members you may know will be coming along.
Yeah, and I'm really hopeful that our halftime guest of honour is going to be one of the toughest players and most polarising players we ever had, in that he loves a settling touch finder.
That can only be one person. Locally, you want to talk about A grade.
I do. Got some good news. The club I'm affiliated with, Cronulla Caringbah, the Sharks, they've been on a big recruiting drive, and they've got Michael Leisha
has come back to the
fold and brought a bunch of his mates like Panani, Manana, Malaleli.
Love him.
And Nessie. And I've even heard a rumor that New Brown could be coming back. Now, given the strength of this squad, They put a submission into the local A grade, and local A grade said, you're not playing in our comp with that team. So they're in the Sydney Shield.
Okay.
So there'll be a local team represented in the Sydney Shield, and they're playing at 4 o'clock on Saturday down at the Cronulla High School fields. And if you go down there and support the boys, you might recognize the ground announcer.
Okay. And any other, is it like other games all the way throughout the day, or?
I'm not quite sure of the form leading up to it. I don't know about that. I think it might just be junior games in front of it. But junior footy is back this weekend, which is great news. They're going to have an abridged season. But
I believe our friends in the Southwest may not have the same luck.
There was a lot of people upset the fact that Michael Leisha put this team together.
His dad put this team together, right?
And they're coming back to play for their local club for free. Right. They're not getting paid for this.
Right.
Because they want to have a game with their mates. And Cronulla Caringbah submitted their application to the Junior League, and the Junior League said, no, you can't play. Now, Cronulla Caringbah haven't won an A-grade comp since the late 70s.
Is that right?
So you think giving them a Guymere and Dealer tend to win every year. Occasionally Ingerding are strong, and Southo won quite a few years ago. But it's been a long time between drinks at Cronulla Caringbah. And I think they feel rightly aggrieved that they didn't get the chance to just win a local comp. But anyway, they're playing in the Sydney Shield, and they stand a good chance of winning that, given the strength of their team.
I have so many fond memories of watching Michael Leisha, Panani, New Brown in particular.
I don't know if New Brown's playing for sure. I only heard that as a rumour.
Yeah. Throw in Valentine as well. That under-20s team was so exciting to watch. Me and my dad would go watch them in the afternoon.
They're all from our system, and they all play juniors for Cronulla Caringbah, which is disappointing. But anyway, hopefully they win the Sydney Shield, and boom shanker.
They're all still local. I see them down at Paisley's once a week.
They're always down at Paisley's. What about Paisley's? What a place. Anyway, that should be a good day out if you you want to just walk down. Numbers are capped down there. They've got a COVID plan too.
So what you would do is you'd watch the Sharks at 2 o'clock and then 3:30, 3:45,
I'll be riding down on my bike.
Contract news, Royce Hunt and Sio Sifa Dalakai, two great men.
Yes.
They've extended their contract. So Hunt has a two-year deal.
I've never been more excited. Actually, that's not a lie.
That's a big statement.
That's a big statement. But I am super excited about these guys.
That's a big statement. They're very promising, and they have what you and I love in a player, that raw aggression, that I'm not going to take a backward step.
They have, which I noticed at the ground, is some serious thighs.
Yeah. They're chunky.
They are two big humans.
And two decent guys off the field from everything I've heard and read. So Hunt is 2 years, and Talakai is one, which takes him to the end of next year. So Hunt to the end of 2022, Talakai 2021. So
good stuff.
That's good news.
Now let's talk about another issue, which is semi-related, adjacent to the Sharks.
Yeah.
Scott Sorensen is making headlines again. Scott Morrison, the PM.
Scott Sorensen, I think he's been picked for first game.
Oh,
Scott Morrison.
Scott Morrison was at the game on the weekend.
Good on him.
Having a beer in the chairman's lounge. And
what is he drinking, Crownies or what?
I think in the chairman's, there's a Crownie there. There's a Crownie there and a Hahn Premium.
When was the last time a Crownie tasted good? Probably like 1989 or something?
I remember this Batuta Advocate article saying that the only place you can get a Crownie is at your weird uncle's in a Chinese restaurant.
In my head, it was always very upper class. Like, it was the best, in inverted commas.
At a point in time, if you were having a Crownie, you were the king of the world, right? But anyway, ScoMo was at the game and came under severe criticism from mostly the left media, but the media saying that, you know, he shouldn't have been there and there's a crisis on and blah, blah, blah. What's your take on it, Sam?
Oh, you put me on the spot here. What is my take on Mr. Morrison being at the game? I don't have too many issues with it. I can see the argument. We are in a big crisis and... You know what he could have done? He could have gone somewhere where he wasn't so heavily scrutinized by the cameras if he really wanted to enjoy the game day.
You know me politically where I stand, and you know that I'm no fan of his, but I think it's over the top. He lives in the area. Because Victoria are in lockdown, is he supposed to go into lockdown in solidarity with them?
I wouldn't have thought so. I'm just saying if his people, not even him, his people, his advisors, who I dare say know better than him, with all respect, they probably should have seen the conflict coming.
Now, keep in mind, I have a vested personal interest in chipping him for this. Because
this is why I know what you're about to say. And before you say it, I'm dead against him being at the footy.
I was going to... I had tickets outside and it started to rain, as you know, before the game. And I rang Dino and said, Dino, can you get me a spot inside? And he's like, yeah, I had you on the list for chairman's, but the PM's coming and I can't fit you in anymore. I'm like, oh, thanks. So thanks, ScoMo.
Well,
good work. But I just think, you know, him going to the football and having a beer isn't the end of the world. What I do want to bring up, though, is the guy's been on... He's on holidays again.
Is he?
He was in Hawaii when the bushfires were on. He has more... I haven't had a holiday in that entire time.
Well, so now you're not being critical. You're just saying that's what's happening.
Well, I have no problem with him going to the football because he lives down the road, right? Mm-hmm. Even though he lives at Kirribilli House, but it's his local electorate, you know, and
he's
been quite vocal in the fact that he's on the bandwagon. Him going on holidays all the time is a different story.
I hate politics because it's just turn your little kids' ears away. It's bullshit.
It is.
It is complete bullshit. It always will be.
The left are going to beat the shit out of him and the right are going to justify it. And if it was a Labour Prime Minister did the same thing, then the left would defend him and the right would beat the piss out of him and on it goes.
Why are we talking? I don't want to talk about ScoMo or Scott.
Well, I mean, it's adjacent to the Sharks. When you see him in his Sharks gear, how do you feel?
I'm fine with it.
Because the guys I was watching the game with are like, I can't stand it.
I know who you're talking about. I'm not a ScoMo guy. I'm not a ScoMo voter. I'm not going to tell you who or where I vote, but I don't vote for him, and that's my prerogative. No hatred.
There are so many Shark supporters that are seething at us right now.
I know. I'm one of them. That's what it's all about, right? Freedom of speech and all that stuff. I hate politics. I really...
You look visibly uncomfortable right now.
I'm so uncomfortable.
Do I look uncomfortable? I look like I'm relishing this, don't I?
Because there's... words I don't want to say on this podcast, and I don't feel like we should go down that gutter.
I think you're not being 100% truthful when you say you're fine with it.
Do you?
Yeah. That he's like there and he's...
No, when I saw him there and everything, I didn't go, what are you doing here? When I heard the argument, I went, some people have a point.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go to war over whether he was there or not.
But how do you feel as him being a Shark supporter?
You know, deep down...
Yeah.
And the people are going to freaking hate me.
They're going to seethe.
It's a really good thing.
Oh, wow. That's the avenue. Sam, the big picture, man.
That's the avenue I'm going down. Someone pointed out that to me from the club.
It's really good for the club.
It's amazing.
It's really good for the club.
It's amazing.
Do you feel, I just feel like it's patently like transparent bandwagonism.
I don't care. Do you think they're going to get thrown out of the comp while he's in charge?
No. I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
No, they're not.
Do you think the Prime Minister's going to intervene?
Yeah.
Under what circumstances would they be thrown out of the comp?
Take another example. Do you think they're going to have to move to Perth next year? Next year, while he's in charge? No.
Okay. All right. This
you know
is
what
great
I'm trying
stuff.
To say.
I love this.
You know what I'm trying to say.
It's his good, what, to have the bloke in the top job as your ally is a good thing.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
Okay. So is there any other news to talk about?
You're going to get a talking to when we hit pause on this recording.
Why is that? I'm only asking you. Standards. It's adjacent. It's adjacent to the show.
I'm an Australian and I love politics. Well, bloody hell.
Give me a talking to now. Don't press pause. I want people to hear.
Can you not bring up politics without me on the rundown knowing about it? I'm a rundown guy. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
You've thrown me.
Have I ever submitted a rundown in the 6 years of doing this show?
That's why I do it.
All right. We're going to cut to a break
now. Let's talk more politics.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so what about Daniel Andrews? How's he going?
Well, apparently he works a lot. I don't know. I don't know.
Apparently he works a lot.
At the moment, he's working a lot.
What about the Palace letters? What was your take on that?
On what, sorry?
The Palace letters.
Yeah, I didn't really. I don't do that. Sorry. I'm out. As soon as that word comes up, I'm like, come on, man.
All right. We're
life
gonna
is short.
We'll break. When we come back on the other side, there will be a politics-free zone.
Yeah, if we come back. We might not come back.
And we will do the letters. This is Sharkcast Radio. Buying or selling a property is one of the most stressful undertakings that you can do in your entire life. Luckily, Sharkcast Radio is supported by one of the best and most honest real estate agents in the Sutherland Shire market and is an expert in the North Carrington region. I sold my property with Jason Hawes from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate and could not have been happier with the outcome. Call Jason on 0410-417-450. That's Jason from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate, 0410-417-450.
And that was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion. We threw that game. We gave it away by doing that. We gave them the friggin' game. In my opinion, that sucked. What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Welcome back to the show, and now it's come to that time where we see what the little sharky who rips around the neighborhood on a high-vis motorbike has jammed into the slot, the letters. You can get a sharkcastpod@gmail.com, and Sam has got a shark tooth-shaped letter opener. Now, do you want to know something funny that happened at work the other day?
Mm-hmm.
We are, company I work for, we are, during COVID, we are moving, and they renovating the whole place, and all of these old artifacts keep turning up. Now the place is like 50 years old, mm-hmm. and they found these letter openers that someone had manufactured, and believe it or not,
no.
it had a shark wrapped around the letter opener. And I'm like, I'm taking this. And they're like, no, you're not. This is an artifact. We're going to frame this. And I'm like, I got to show this to Sam.
You're the only person in the world who'd have interest in that. Like, you have to take it.
I know. I know, but anyway, I just thought the world
so one exists. Yeah, I always wondered, like, what the hell are you talking about?
Like, I just thought it was a letter opener and it's sharp.
I mean, I've always used one, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
The first letter we have is from Shags.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Shags, come to the party, man.
He says, another great listen. He's going to put his hand up and say that he's a full Dugan fan. He puts in 99% effort.
Yes.
99% of the time.
Me and you too, Shags.
I've also found Dugan to be one of the nicest and most polite players from the group. So I think that was when 2 weeks ago you asked, does any of your, you know, do you know anyone likes?
I was hoping that you'd say, yeah, I know one, you, because I'm a big Dugan fan.
Sorry, dude.
The fish jumped in the boat, Sam. All you had to do was whack it on the head.
I'm not.
There's a lot of fishing references.
I don't believe in that. Is that too political for you? On to Williams. This is political. Shag says, I don't mind when Williams hits the hole and drops the ball in a 50-50 tackle, but he can't cop the loose carry and the fumble while playing the ball after a repeat set. It's the basics of the learnt in under sixes. He made some good points about Ramian rushing out of the line. Keep them coming, looking forward to the next gathering. Okay, it sounds like Shags might be coming.
Right,
that'd be good fun.
Get on board, Shags. Get on board.
Now we've got one from Matt from Saudi Arabia. And he says, arguably one of our worst performances for a while. Lack of effort is a real worry. What a nightmare it must be to be defending outside. Chad constantly shooting out and grasping at air. What has happened to Wade? Goodwin is well past his best as well.
His last point is a pertinent one. Oh, how it hurts watching Kyle fire for the Roosters. That's something we haven't really discussed on the pod. And, man, he's playing at a good team. There's no doubt about it. But, he's playing well.
Yeah, and we kind of knew that he would.
I've got to put my hand up. I didn't think he'd be that good.
Oh, yeah. He can do it all at that Ivan Cleary, dare I say, Chad at his best level. Like, he's the competent halfback. And he's young, so he's fast and he's fit and he's a goal kicker. And yeah, he's a part of their furniture now. And if you want to have a little sneaky on him every week for any time try scorer as well, it comes in handy. But
Samuel.
Yeah. But no, I wasn't surprised by Kyle, and I'm hoping one day Kyle comes home. But some great points there, Matt. I mean, he mentions Wade. Well, let's talk about Wade. What's going on there?
I can't get an answer on that. I've every angle that I have at the club, and I hope people know that I try and lean on every contact I have down there to find information out for the podcast.
We both do.
I have asked about it and have come up with nothing.
We both have come up with nothing.
So can't help you, but he's not.
So we don't know of any injuries.
And well, he's training every day, I know that.
Yeah, we don't know of any injuries.
We both know that, actually.
He's missing a lot of tackles.
Yeah.
Some of them are more costly than others.
Do you think maybe the captaincy's wearing heavy on? He's coveted the captaincy for so long.
I wouldn't have thought it would have. I can't tell you if it is or not.
No, me either.
I can't see if it is. And I haven't lost faith in the guy. Like, he's a champion player, and I believe that he'll come back and improve on what he's doing now. But he's pretty quiet in games. You got one from Joel.
Yeah, he says, "Hi, Sam and Newman. I'm a huge fan of your Weekly Sharks update and your honest, unfiltered opinions of our club. Good on you,
man.
Joel."
Thank you.
He says that he has two questions for our stats guru, Sam. What is our win percentage wearing jerseys other than our home hoop strip?
I think it's at about 28.5% that they win in the non-traditional. I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird that they were playing in black and the Panthers were playing in pink. You know my thoughts on that. Can't think of it.
But let's not cheapen Joel's question. I honestly don't know that, but I'll tell you that someone out there will know, so someone can get in touch and let us know.
Okay, and this question is a sizzler.
Which, there's a few of these, so you can do the first one.
What is our win percentage on weeks where Chad releases a podcast or starts a side hustle?
That's interesting. He did a podcast last week for the Sharks. Lost. Hadn't done one previously, and they'd won. What people aren't realizing is he does an NFL podcast every week. Every week.
Does he?
And the Sharks win sometimes and they lose.
Have you been on there?
On his NFL podcast? Yeah. No, I have not.
How do you feel about not being invited on that podcast?
You're killing me tonight.
The people want to know, Sam.
How do I feel? I feel like I might get the invite in summertime when the NFL season kicks off, if it kicks off.
Okay, good to know. What are they doing? Are they going to do some kind of bubble thing?
They're not sure. The NBA is doing a bubble, and I think the baseball's doing a bubble too. I'm not sure about ice hockey, NFL's TBC. Then we've got one from Ashley, and he says, "I have no words to say about the game, except it was
plenty to say online.
It was the most embarrassing performance of 2020 so far. We're lucky to make the 8. Chad should focus on footy instead of podcasts. See you at the party." Thanks,
Ash. I know for a fact has bought his ticket, so he will be there.
Good man.
Jason, I have a title suggestion for the next podcast. Run over by the bus. What a shocker. Can't wait for the next pod. It will be a doozy. Well, we hope. I've been trying to lean on Sam with a couple of
Still a bit more time to go as well. I'm a bit worried.
Anyway, hopefully it's a doozy.
Michael from Canberra says, "No premiership for us." And he's referring to that classic stat, 50 points conceded, can't win it.
Yep.
Time for Jackson Ferris, time for Trindle, time for lockdown 2.
Teague Wilton. Chuck some paint against the wall. See how it looks.
He says you could have landed one of the Qantas newly decommissioned A380s on that left edge. The gap's the way to Chad. He says none from four without Moylan, four and one with him. No games with a pre-game pod by the halfback. People are focusing
on that. Wow, people are picking up on the fact that when Chad pods, he doesn't play well.
I still think it's complete nonsense, but I understand the gag. What do you think about the Moylan?
I still stand by the comment that when he does a podcast and he opens himself up for more criticism when he plays poorly. That just goes with the territory.
Okay. And I go with the territory that he should be allowed to live his life.
I didn't say he shouldn't be. Did I say he shouldn't be able to live
his life?
Are you
going to fight me, Newman? What do you think about Moylan 0-4, 4-1 with him?
I'm flabbergasted that he has such an impact on the team because
he does.
He's such an enigmatic type.
Those
presence.
Three games were really good.
Yeah. I mean, the game we lost with him playing, he was off the bench.
Yeah.
So that four and whatever, it's the three games he started, we won. Wow. The call for Trindle is an interesting one.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Well,
is he ready?
He's got to get a start at some point, doesn't he?
Are you going with
Didn't
Tracy
play
before
a game
him?
Early in the year?
No. Are you going with Tracy before him?
I would, but I know there are calls for Braden Kenneth Trindle to step up to the plate, so to speak.
Like, who's the better halfback? You'd think Trindle, kind of.
Well, I watched a lot of Braden last year, and he was really good in those finals games, but week to week, he was up and down. Mm. I would think that Tracy has and Tracy's a lot faster. Like, Trindle's, you know, bigger
so
body.
Different roles.
They're different roles.
Yeah. Half, 5/8 almost.
Yeah. I'm a fan of seeing Chad get a spell.
So who would go best with Sean?
If it's me, I'd put Connor Tracy in.
Okay.
But it's not me, man.
Caleb says, I would have thought that if we wanted to drop Williams, then we'd bring in Billy McGills into the 13 and then keep the four big boys on the bench.
Yep, I understand that.
If we have an injury in the halves or hook up, we can move McGoolis in there and plug someone else into lock. I think that's a great point, Caleb.
Yeah.
You might see that sooner rather than later.
Well, McGoolis is back in the...
He's getting closer.
He's in the squad. He's not in the 13, but he's in the squad.
So thanks for that, Caleb. Appreciate it. And the last one, I think, I have to double check that, from Jordan Newman. Have you got that one?
Yeah, man. Jordan says, we were blown off the park early and never recovered. Got back into it marginally, but then completely bottled it again early in the second half. Penrith are an exceptionally good team this season, but that performance was disgusting. Aaron Woods at his worst, and the sin bin really capped it off. We didn't even talk about that. I'm not a fan. Really hoping that we can get back in the winner's circle this week. I think a loss to the Warriors would be...
unacceptable.
Completely unacceptable. He is hoping it happens.
He's right. It would be. And the Warriors...
Is he hoping that the Warriors... He says, I think the loss to the Warriors...
No, I think he's saying he hopes to get back in the winner's circle.
Okay. Yeah. Hope all as well.
Awesome
up.
Stuff, Jordan.
Good letter from Jordan.
Not a fan of Woodsy.
No. He's not on his hand solo there, Samuel.
Yeah, I sort of player, I don't know what to think. Like, I do believe he's on too much money for what he's providing.
Well, there wouldn't be a person in rugby league world who thought that he was underrated.
Good body shape. Stats are, in inverted commas, good.
Yeah, but he's this kind of player where when we play badly, he plays badly. And when we play well, he seems to play well.
Yeah, there's a bunch of those guys in the team as well. And that's a problem.
But when you're a middle front rower, whether you win or not, your game should be the same. Cart the ball up.
I had a question on Twitter from David, and he said, just bear with me for a sec.
David.
He said, who played worse on Saturday, Woods or Williams? That was from David. I think David's overseas somewhere.
Dead heat.
It was for you. He wanted you to answer.
Dead heat. Williams missed a bunch of the game with a HIA, didn't he?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I think he did. Okay. So I'm going to give that one to Woods because Woods played more minutes. Also, Woods got sin binned.
So thanks everyone for writing in. We appreciate it. We love your correspondence. We love the passion. We love the honesty. Love the humor. Love the knowledge. And if you want to come and chat to us in person about this sort of stuff, you should come along to the party if you're able to, if you're in the area, if you can get to the area. Friday, July 31st, Royal Motor Yacht Club in Port Hacking. Great establishment. 7 o'clock we're saying?
Yeah, get there at 7 for an 8 o'clock game kickoff. Shark Island Brewing Company are providing the beer.
So just jump online and grab one of those tickets, and we will see you down there. Any more to say in the letters section, Newman?
Nope. Let's cut to a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to have a game preview. This is Sharkcast Radio, one of our best episodes ever. The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking is a hidden gem of the Shire, situated on the banks of the beautiful Port Hacking, and is the best venue around for lunch, dinner, casual catch-up with friends, or function.
They always show NRL games live on the big screens, and Sunday arvos are superb with live acoustic music in the beer garden while the boats frame the backdrop. Newman, I love acoustic music, you know that.
Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days and nights, serving great food, and if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free
garlic bread, baby.
The RMYC Port Hacking, Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or check out their Facebook feed to see what's on.
Trista, Green, kicks across the park, Sailor's on his own!
Welcome back to the show, and now we come to that time where Sam does the introduction and we preview the upcoming game, which is against the Warriors, the Mercurial Warriors, who nobody can get a read on. They're having a really bad season, given that they can't even go home. 2 o'clock kickoff, Saturday afternoon, another bludger of a time slot. And
what time slot do you like?
Yeah, Thursday and Friday night.
That's it.
Prime time, baby.
That's it.
And I've been watching a couple of their games in the last few weeks. And I'll tell you what, that Arthur, yes, he can play footy.
He can. So can Blake Green, our former Shark friend. 2 o'clock at Gosford, Newman, on Sunday.
Yeah, wow.
They haven't lost a game at Gosford this year. It's their hometown. They've lost everywhere else they go, but when they play at Gosford, they win.
Now, if we score a try at the northern end at Gosford, keep your eye on the signing.
Okay.
Signage. The okay. Hoardings.
Is that where the big sauce bottles are, or the other end?
The other end.
Okay.
It's at the other end because a major sponsor of Sharkcast also has a sign up there.
Does he?
He does. So he might see some Dyson Logistics love.
That's cool. That's really good news. Love the Dyson Logistics.
What do you say about this game? Like, okay, you've got a team for us, obviously, so go ahead.
Let's do that. Josh Dugan at fullback, Sione Katoa on one wing, Ronaldo Militalo makes his comeback on the other wing. Holding his center spot at the moment is Bryson Goodwin.
Oh, God.
And Jesse Ramian. Halves are Sean Johnson, Chad Townsend. With no Andrew Fifita this week, officially, Braden Hamlin-Ewely will start. Blake Brayley, Aaron Woods, Britton Nakora, Wade Graham, and Toby Rudolph will lock the scrum.
Yep.
Interchange, number 14, Connor Tracy makes a return to NRL, as does Scott Sorensen. And our two BFs, Talakai and Hunt, round out the interchange. The extended bench, Jack Williams, Billy Magulius, Will Kennedy, and Nene McDonald.
Okay, so we can read this that Jack Williams has finally been dropped and Nene McDonald has been dropped. It's strange that Goodwin holds his position. However, we say this noting that it will be, I'd be surprised if they ran out.
What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, look, they're not going to run out like that 1-17.
Are you saying Will Kennedy comes in and Dugan do?
I don't know any inside news on the team.
But that's what you would suggest. If you don't want Goodwin in the centres, you would think Dugan goes to centre and Kennedy comes in at fullback.
Yeah, that's one way to operate it. And you'd maybe.
Is that bench going to. The bench will probably stay that way, I think. Although Williams and Magulius missing out. Strange.
Seems strange. You know,
I don't mind Toby at lock, though. I don't mind him.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I love him off the bench, but I'm happy to give him a shot at lock, starting lock.
I have no inside information. My point is, I don't think it'll run out 1-17. I'll be surprised if it does, but I don't know what changes are going to be made.
I'd be surprised
if Goodwin stays in the centers,
just based on last week. And again, we're not dissing the guy. He's just maybe not a center in these times.
Do you think at the moment that Sione and Ronaldo are our two wingers?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree with that.
Particularly on Katoa's form.
So you've got to pick your two best centres. And Connor Tracy played a little bit of centres for us.
No, I don't want to see that. I really don't want to see that.
But it's an option.
No. See, that can't be an option. That's where I think our team and other teams go wrong. There's a little hole out there. You can go do it. No, you can't go do it. You're a halfback hooker.
He's not a specialist, right?
I'm sure he'd do a great job.
I agree with that.
I'm sure he'd do a great job. If only Josh Morris had stuck around, the big fat jerk.
Yeah. Kyle Flanagan and Josh Morris.
No. Kyle's not in that territory. He's not in that territory.
Makes a difference, though, to the team, doesn't it?
Yeah, but he didn't turn his back on them. He just signed a contract elsewhere. He didn't turn his back on them either.
No, I know, but...
He did them a favour.
Pushed out because of the salary cap. You know, I'm not allowed to say that word.
I miss Matt Pryor. I really do.
Yeah, so
Sharks
mate,
have won,
flip a coin with what's going to happen here. We should beat them.
We've won five of the past six against them. The loss was last year in round 18. A Blake Green field goal in Wellington beat us. And...
I have no memory of that game.
Six of the past eight games decided by 4 points or less.
Yeah, we've had some down-to-the-wire affairs.
Yeah, we should beat them, man. We should beat them, and I don't know if we're going to. Up there, they're a different team.
Was it 2017 Sharkcast party, Edric Lee in the corner? Come on, Eddie.
2018.
Yeah, that was a close game.
That was awesome. That forward pass.
Yeah, the forward pass.
Yeah. I'll say this. There's a strong suggestion that David Fizetua, Kendall Marlowe, and someone else who I can't think of, two great players there, are going to be leaving to go home after this game.
And that's it for them.
Just for they want to see their family, so it will be it for them, you'd think. So they're going to be high on emotion.
Oh, right.
They're a different team in Gosford, and you can believe what you want about stats, but I'm telling you, they're a different team in Gosford this year.
But I like it there.
They're based there.
Yep.
And they're going to go out there and try and win. They lost the Titans last week. They're a bit probably embarrassed by that.
That was a bludger of a game. I watched that game.
It wasn't good. And Toddy Payton's taken over there, and I'm sure he wants to get some wins on the board. And I think it's going to be kind of close. I don't want it to be, but how could you say anything else based on what we saw last week in the Sharks?
Well, obviously, you know, it's a different proposition to the Panthers, and RTS is the focal point of their attack. If you can shut him down, we should beat them, but if we defend the way we have...
Yeah, but they've got two great wingers, two
100%.
Really good wingers.
They get them good
Blake
ball.
Green, I know we think of Blake Green as someone else, but he's become a pretty good footballer.
He's pretty handy, right?
Yeah, the thing that surprised me, Newman, about their forwards was just, you know, stat-wise, they're not really creating much. We might be able to win that battle, which might win the game. So... Mm. But you just never know who's going to turn up for the Warriors. And
here's what I think will happen. Mm. Tight game, flip a coin at the end.
Oh, boy. The old coin flip, eh?
Errors deluxe from both teams.
It'll
be an advertisement for Rugby League.
Well, I'm at a loss with this Sharks team, I've got to tell you. I'm at a loss. But I recognize we beat three easy beats. I get that.
Yep.
And I recognize we came up against a really good team and lost to them, but the way they lost, we haven't seen that for a long time, man. And when we used to see that, they weren't good times.
No. So that's going to wrap us up for another episode of Sharkcast Radio, which has been uplifting listening.
Deep.
We will be back next week, and as we say every week, up the Sharks.
Yeah, up the Sharks. Let's do this. Back on the winning track.